Mary, did you know? I think it has to be one of the greatest oneness Christmas songs ever written. If you could stand with me tonight, and most of you already are, we're going to continue in a roundabout way on our series on why we do what we do. We started this on Wednesday night. We're going to continue this up through the new year. I'm reading Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Everybody say, all power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You could call this the last will and testament of Jesus Christ, where he's telling his disciples, when I'm gone, this is what I want you to do. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So everything that I have taught you, I want you to teach them as in the world. And lo, I am with you always. So that means whatever we go through, whatever trial we go through, whatever obstacle that we come against, he says, I'm going to give you the same power and the authority that I have. And I'm going to give you the power and the authority to go through it. And I will be with you always. 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 The last 24 hours of my life has been quite an event. As I was studying on Saturday night, after a long day, we went to Sister, and you can be seated, Sister Anuncia's graduation. And she graduated from UW-Platteville with a double major or double honors. I'm not for sure what to call all of that stuff, but she graduated with 2 degrees. And she had a 3.77 grade average. She had special honors, and she was also picked to be the class representative for the class speech, or the speech for the class, her graduating class of 2018, UW-Platteville. We're very, very proud of Sister Anuncia. She's done a phenomenal job and a tremendous blessing to this church and also to African International, Brother Claude, and the folks there. And I come home and I begin to get ready for preaching in Stoughton. We were down there this morning celebrating, and I get a phone call, and everything just started to change. And Brother Chris Jansen and I have been meeting on a regular basis because God has just been, for whatever reason, God is drawing us together, and I know what it is now. But what we're going to do tonight is we're going to do 3 short messages, and I want to come and wrap things up. And we're going to have Brother Chris Jansen, the pastor of Waupun, Wisconsin, come and share some things with us where God has led him.
Praise the Lord. Pastor Roy has become a friend, a mentor, a confidant, all those wonderful things, and I truly am honored to stand before all of you today. I give honor to Pastor Grant, Bishop Grant, all of the wonderful men and women on this team, and I only have a few minutes, so I'm going to be quick. I'm going to start with an illustration. In the barren prairie, a hiker huddles down. The cold north wind sweeps over him, stinging his face and numbing his fingers. The whistle of the wind is deafening. The hiker hugs his knees to his chest, hoping for warmth. He doesn't move. The sky is orange with dirt. His teeth are gritty and grainy. His eyes bloodshot from lack of sleep. He thinks of quitting, going home. Home to the mountains. Ah, the mountains. The spirit that moved him in the mountains seems so far away now. For a moment, his mind wanders back to his homeland, green country, mountain trails, fresh water. Hikers hiking on well-marked trails, no surprises, few fears, rich companionship. One day, while on a brisk hike, he had stopped to look out from the mountains across the neighboring desert. He felt strangely pulled to the sweeping barrenness that lay before him. The next day, he paused again, and the next day, and the next. Shouldn't someone try to take life to the desert? Slowly, the flicker in his heart became a flame. Many of his friends agreed that someone should go. Uncharted land, fearful storms, loneliness. But the hiker, spurred by the enthusiasm of others, was determined to continue to go. After careful preparation, he set out alone. Alone. With the cheers of his friends behind him, he descends the grassy highlands and enters the desolate wilderness. The first few days, his steps were strong, his eyes were keen. He yearned to do what he was told to do. Then came the heat, the scorpions, the bugs, the little critters that come in the night. Slowly the fire diminishes, and now the storm, the endless roar of the wind, the relentless cold. I don't know how much more of this I can take. Weary and beaten, the hiker considers going back, knees tucked under him, head bowed low, almost touching the ground. Will it ever stop? He laughs at the irony of the situation, too tired to go on, yet too ashamed to go back home. No longer can he hear the voices of his friends. Long gone is the romance of his mission. No longer does he float on the dream. Maybe someone else should do this. I'm too young. I'm too inexperienced. The winds of discouragement and fear whip at his fire, exhausting what is left of the flame but the coals. The coals remain hidden and hot. The hiker, now almost the storm's victim, looks one last time for the fire, yearning and clawing. The temptation to quit is overcome by the commitment and his purpose to move forward. At this point, he knows exactly who he is. He's not going to quit. With all his strength, the hiker rises to a feet, bows his head, and takes another step. This is heart-wrenching. It's powerful. But it's stupid and unnecessary. Yes, I said it. I mean, honestly, good for the guy or the lady that endures the hardship to pursue purpose that God has placed in them. But woe to the person that does it alone. We cannot fulfill the Great Commission on our own. What this illustration fails to mention is the percentage of men and women who burn out being alone. I want to briefly talk about vision that we believe. We, Madison, Waupon, some of these men that are on this platform, the vision that we believe we need to institute, and that is that no one enter the ministry by themselves. Now you may be asking yourself, what's this guy from Waupon? Where does he fit in? Look, if we're going to reach areas that are unchurched, from our homes to our communities, surrounding towns, city, and our states, we're going to need each other to close the distance and bridge the gap. You know, it's amazing to me that Jesus Christ came to this earth to bridge the gap between him and us, that sin created. But he placed in us power to bridge the gap between him and them. Them being the unchurched. I tend to believe that God knows exactly what he's doing. As I read the accounts of those in the Bible that were successful, I see that they had people that they could count on to help them get to where they were going. Joseph had a butler that brought his name before Pharaoh. There was Moses, arguably the greatest leader in history. He had Jethro as a mentor. Joshua had Moses as a predecessor. Naomi has Ruth as a confidant. Ruth develops a relationship with Boaz, who becomes the family's redeemer. The list goes on and on and on. The prophet Samuel has Elias, who gives him information and instruction as to how to hear the voice of God and to respond. Because it's not just enough to hear the voice of God. Somebody has to stand up and respond to that voice and move toward the calling. David, anointed king of Israel, had Jonathan, who was like a brother, loyal and full of character. Esther has an uncle Mordecai who sees potential of her position and challenges that position and potential. The three Hebrew boys have each other, and they're not alone in the fire because they understand where their help comes from. A paralyzed man has, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2 and 3, friends who are willing to tear a roof off to get him to the feet of the master. I want somebody to understand here in this church that you are not alone. You have people beside you that are willing to tear the roof off of this place to get you to where God has called you to be. Then there was God in flesh, Jesus Christ, our greatest example, who pulls in 12 ordinary men to take the gospel to the entire world. Jesus, God in flesh, needed help. And he needed help not from perfect individuals, but from flawed folks that needed redemption and instruction and encouragement, but would be given keys that would unlock doors to salvation. John 17, 21 and 22, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou givest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, we've all heard the phrase that many hands make light work. However, this only applies if the many hands are working together. Come on, somebody. The work is too great for you to be pulling that way and me pulling that way. We need to be pulling toward the mark that Jesus Christ has set, and that is that the whole world would be reached with the gospel. I know we're all joking about your pastor wearing those cool shoes, but I need him to be ready. I got too much in the tank. So I need him to be able to pull the reins a little bit on me. We're going to joke a little bit, but the reality is we're dead serious about the call. We're dead serious about what's about to take place in the house of God tonight. We're dead serious about those that are going to step up and do what God is asking them to do, and not do it alone, but do it with the backing of men and women that came before you. Because in contrast to today's culture, our identity as followers of Christ have become more important than the pursuit of individual accolades. I don't need the credit. I don't want the credit. I want you to go and win somebody. I want you to go and disciple the lost. I want us to grow the kingdom of God here on earth as God has deemed it. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. We're going to reach the areas that God has commissioned. For us to reach this area, we're going to have to operate as one. This is the vision. This is the direction.
Come on, let's give God a hand praise. Come on, church, you can do better than that. Come on, let's magnify the name of the Lord. Come on, let's give the high praise unto God tonight. Hallelujah. Bless his name. You may have your seats in the company of the power of the greatness of our God. I do honor you all in your respected places tonight. I thank God, amen, for being in your midst. Amen. This is a place that I do call home here in Madison. This is the place where we had my installation into my pastorship. This is the place where we came and sat under the teaching and the preaching of the great man that God has given us here, Pastor Roy Grant. I'm going to get you in private. I ain't going to get you in public. Amen. I am honored. I am honored. Thank you all for accepting me and my family. Amen. And I've been given a charge. I didn't come to preach. I just came to expound on one little verse of scripture here in the book of Psalms, the 133rd Psalm. Amen. I'm going to read three verses, verse 1, 2, and 3. Amen. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I just want to tell you today that as I began to consider the assignment that I've been given by Pastor Roy, I'm so thankful that in my opportunities, even before I came to Madison, one of the things I did in my leadership in Chicago as the youth leader and as the Brotherhood chairman was I oftentimes prayerfully ask God, how do we expand the image of who you are beyond our little black church? How do I get people that are familiar with people of other persuasions, ethnicities, how do I get them to see that there's some folks that love the same Jesus we love? Can I get a witness in the house? Love the same Jesus we love. But maybe they don't love him in the same exact manner. I come here and I see people skipping and jumping. And I say, man, we skip and jump too. We just skip and jump in a little different manner. But when you get through, we all skipping and jumping, giving God all the praise. That's why it wasn't hard for me, Brother Roy, when I came to this church. Because I felt the power of God in this house. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, somebody go with me tonight. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, baby, you can be set free in the house. You do not have to go back home a drug addict. If you come into the house of the Lord, you do not have to go back home with all kinds of messed up sexual desires. If you come into the house of the Lord, you know why you don't have to? Because when we come together, the commandment of the blessing of God resteth in the house. That's why if you're in the black church and you come in the white church, God will meet you there. That's why if you come from the white church and go in the black church, God will meet you there. I don't care if you come from Africa and you go to Europe, God will meet you there. He said, I command the blessing. You better talk back to me up in here. He said, I command the blessing. You sick of being like you are? Come together. You sick of not having understanding? Come together. You're tired of all the trouble in your life? Come together. Somebody lift your hands and tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you for unity. We may not look like we ought to look, but baby, we're going to understand it better. By and by. Somebody touch your neighbor and said he commanded the blessing right here. He commanded it right here. Church, we just got to remember, we can't be afraid to be different, but see it the same way. We can't be afraid to think a little different than you think and not know that if we can still come together. He has commanded. He has commanded it. Lord, lead me to where the Spirit is. Because God, if I can get connected, God, you can do so much more than a big old fat bank account. You can do so much more than somebody who loves me. And if I gain some weight, they stop loving me. You can do so much more than just because I got a pension plan on my job. But when that pension plan falls through, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, take the shackles off your feet and praise God. Hallelujah.
Woo! Hallelujah. Keep it going. Come on. Keep it going. God inhabits it. Come on. Hallelujah. Ishara Baharia Roma. Yeah, Roma Satabaya Nade. Oh, we don't want to restrict the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Itabrande Rabahoya Rase. Woo! Glory. Glory. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Woo! I don't want to have you sit down if the Lord says to stay where you're at. Hallelujah. That's what's so great about having the liberty where God is. Amen. Praise God. If you choose to be seated, go ahead. Praise God. I preached a message one time and got in all kinds of trouble. I didn't tell them to sit down. And I didn't realize that common sense doesn't always operate. Hallelujah. And then I read a scripture where you said, where you're in the presence of God, stay standing. Woo! God bailed me out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I got a question for you. We've all gone through it. We do it periodically. Regardless of where we are, if we're just starting out, we're in life and just beginning to wonder what's going on. Ever ask yourself a question? What's my purpose? What am I doing here? What's this all about? Is there really a God? Come on. If you haven't asked yourself, you need to start because God likes to answer. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm serious about that. And I go back in my life before I ever had any experience in God. I and another buddy of mine, he always comes to my mind. He's a very good young friend of mine. I haven't seen him in years. But we would sit on lay on a hillside in the high grass. You ever been in high grass? Wind blowing. No care in life because you're young. Mom and dad are taking care of all the responsibilities. And you're wondering, what am I doing here? And once in a while you get an answer by what we're laying on a hill. And I says, yeah, I know that, but what's our purpose? Is it to keep the grass warm, or what are we doing here? And you look up in the sky, and you see all the stars. And you're wondering, what's the purpose of all this? Well, you're young now. You don't understand. But when we come into the kingdom of God, we got the same kind of questions. What's this all about? What am I doing here? And I still look up at the stars and say, what's this all about? Yes, I understand a little bit more. I know I got a purpose now. I don't always know what direction that purpose is going to take me. But I do know one thing. As long as he's in charge, I'll get there. Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter what we have, what we go through, whether it's illness or poverty or just opposition. He has the keys to the eternity. And he has a purpose for everybody here. And it's time for us to realize, hey, we're part of whatever his plan is. You've heard already all of this about getting where you need to be, working together in unity, having one mind and one accord, having all things common. Come on. That's what God's purpose is. Let him determine where my steps are going to take me. Amen. If the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein, can't we trust him? It's trust. If you can't trust him, you'll find it hard to trust one another. Praise God. Hallelujah. I need you. You need me. We may not be in contact directly, but every prayer that goes up for a man of God, a child of God, a purpose of God, a will of God, is all part of what happened to me. Praying one for another in the Spirit. We don't realize how important that Spirit is in our life. If you've just been filled, you're in for an adventure. Praise God. You know, sometimes it gets stale. Why? Because we get familiar. We think we got what God wants. I realized a long time ago I'm incomplete. And the only way I can be complete is in him. Amen? So I want to stay there. Praise God. So how about you? Aren't you glad? Don't you ever get a vision or a purpose in your life where you think maybe this might be of God? I'm here to tell you, if you're getting stuff that promotes the kingdom, God's talking to you. Praise the Lord. I just want to read something here if I can find it. I got so many scriptures, but I know I can only use so many. I only got so much time. But you know, the first chapter of John, the gospel, is so unique because it puts things in order. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? And the Word was the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. We can't go wrong. Are you following me? This is a glorious message. What they started out with here, we can't even, how do we put a measure on that? How do we put a price on that? God choosing people that are from every walk of life, every circumstance, every situation, and bringing them together to walk for His glory, to live according to His purpose. And He said He's going to fulfill what He's purposed. So I know I'm going to get fulfilled in Him. If you're in Him and He's in you, you can't go wrong. Proverbs, the third chapter, very familiar with most of us. Amen? It says, trust in the Lord. Come on. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Come on, say it. I trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. What is He going to do? He's going to direct your path. Come on. Your steps are going to be ordered of the Lord. We got it made if we can only see the value of what He placed within us. Amen. Excuse me. I got all kinds of notes, but I'm not even going to look at them anymore. Praise God. When I came to the Lord and was new in the Lord, I didn't understand one thing, Brother Grant. Not a thing, brothers. I mean, I was so naive and so hyped up about whatever God was going to do in my life that I really didn't care much. I got a lot of times in the pastor's office, believe me. Because I read something in there and I said, well, if it's in there, we can do it. I didn't know that God used a little wisdom, and sometimes He don't move as quick, and sometimes He kind of holds you back. But I was willing. But you know what I did? I learned. And I learned that God would place people in my life that would help me to take those steps and give me guidance. That's why we need one another. You're not going to make it on your own like He preached already. Amen. God speaks to us. We learn to listen. I remember the man that was climbing a mountain somewhere and he fell. He had a rope and the rope went so far. And when it finally stopped, he was hanging on it and he thought, well, I'm safe if somebody can come and pull the rope. And he says, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? The Lord said, let go. He says, I can't let go. I don't know where I'm at. I might fall and kill myself. I have no idea where I'm at. It was dark out. He couldn't see. Three times he was spoken by the Lord to let go of the rope. And the next morning, they found him frozen to the rope, 10 feet from the ground. You remember that story? Praise God. You get what I'm trying to say? How do I know it's God? He's not going to deviate from His word. He's going to do something to better you and influence others and help others. Praise God. It's not a single thing. So I learned that. When I heard somebody speaking in tongues, I said, what is all that all about? They said, well, that's the Holy Ghost when you get filled. And all I could say to God is, I want that. So it didn't take but a couple of days, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Then I heard somebody prophesy, and I said, what's all that about? Speaking in tongues, and somebody gives interpretation. They explained it to me. I said, God, I want that. I was young in the Lord and ignorant. I didn't realize you needed to get a little understanding. But you know what? God allowed it. You talk about mercy and grace. We got to learn how to trust God. But we got to have a desire in our heart for what God wants us to have. Come on now. Where are you today? What does God want in your life? Where does He want to take you? There's no boundaries in Him. Amen. You just got to walk in the boundary he gives you. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that's what we did. And we constantly were growing in God that way. Then God puts you in a place of men that really have the wisdom and knowledge and experience. My dad taught us this when I was growing up. Never ignore an elder. He's got wisdom that you don't even have or never attained yet. He's gone through things in life that you haven't witnessed yet. Listen to what he's got to say. Get the wisdom of his experiences. And when I came to the Lord, guess what? I had an elder tell me the same thing. Praise God. I'm not great. He's great. None good but God. But I'm in him. As long as I stay in him, I'm good. Praise God. Amen. Don't you want that? He gave us the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to what? Lead us, direct us, teach us. We have everything God wants us to have to achieve what his goals are for mankind. To be accomplished to his ministry. Amen? Amen? Let's stand. Praise God. There's a whole lot we could say, but I know Pastor has a few things he wants to say. Let's trust God. Trust one another. Praise God. Let God pick you up and take you where he wants you to go. Amen.
Thank you, brother. I just want to read a passage of Scripture as we go into the closing of this service, and we're going to be reading from Joel chapter 3. It's a pretty... Joel chapter 2, I'm sorry, it says, Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I don't know where you are tonight. But maybe you just look at your life and you're like, I've had too much life pass before me, and there's no way that I can take and fulfill what God has called me to do. But I live by this scripture, because in my own life I had those times where that I wasted years and years. But I know that this scripture will work, because it has happened in my life when he says, I will restore unto you. I will give back to you what the enemy has taken from you. I will give back to you what the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm. My great army shall I send among ye. And we can go on, and it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your servants, your handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. I will show signs and wonders in the heavens. Your old men are going to dream dreams. Your young men are going to see vision. Church, everything that is happening around us right now is ordained by God. What we are experiencing here tonight is not just something that just happened by some whim. It is something that God has brought all of this together for this particular moment in time. I don't know why he picked today. I don't know why he picked tonight, but we're all here because we are here to fulfill a purpose that God has brought us together for. We are going through, as I have said many times, and you may want to sit down for a few moments if you want to, but we've talked about surrendering our wills to God. We've talked about what we are doing or what God is calling us to do. We've talked about giving ourselves over completely. We've talked about dreams being fulfilled in our lives. God is positioning us. God is bringing us together. God is not just working on Calvary Gospel Church. He's working on Word of Life. He's working on Waupun. He's working on the Pentecostals of Sun Prairie or Stoughton, excuse me. He's working everywhere around us. He's working in us. He's working through us, because he has a mission for us. We talk about a season of shifting. I was laying this afternoon seeking to get a short bit of a nap. It's been a very long week for my wife and I, and many, many late nights, and I was laying there trying to get a little bit of rest. God brought to my attention a dream that He had given me some years ago. Now, this dream has always bothered me because I've always felt like there's something else to it. I don't know if you've ever received a dream from God, but I received, it was a dream, and I call it the warehouse dream. I've shared that with many of you here in various services in the past, but as I was laying, trying to find some sleep, God brought that dream back to me today. And I said, Lord, what is it that I'm missing? He said, that dream, you have to understand, that dream was about my church. I had this dream, a large warehouse, won't go into all the details, but I saw many, 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 many members of this church locked up, shackled inside this large warehouse. And as I began to confer with a young brother in the church here, and I began to have a conversation with them, talking and asking, how did you end up in this place? What is this place? I had seen all kinds of spiritual weaponry laying on the floor. And I wanted to know how this got here. How did the enemy capture you with all of your armament on? And the reply was, we willingly laid it down. We came in, we became comfortable, we took off our armament, and in the process of laying down our weapons, the enemy began to sneak up and began to shackle us, and we didn't even realize that he had us bound. And it was only then when I stood up to say, well, let's get out of here, that I looked down and realized that my own feet were shackled. I began to cry out to God and say, God, how can this be? Just today, God just released a little bit more of this meaning into my spirit and said, I'm not looking to release the church from alcohol and drugs and things that we would normally look at as people trying to gain relief from some sort of a sin or a vice. But as God began to speak to me and tears began to well up in my eyes as I was laying in bed, God says, I have a church that I seek to release. But I can't release them unless they are willing to give up their fear. Unless they're willing to give up and allow the shackles of intimidation. If they're willing to allow the shackles of frustration. Sometimes we become so frustrated in our life because we're not fulfilling the calling that God is calling upon us. And we get frustrated. And I know that we can come to a service like this and we can say, this is an awesome service. And we can walk out of here tonight frustrated inside of us because we know that God is trying to pull something out of us and we won't let it go. Listen. This season that we are in is shifting and time is running out. God is wearing out. I remember when I backslid and God spoke to me through a prophetic word from a preacher that as he had called me years ago, he calls again and I ignored it. I ran from it for 13 years, Brother Lomax, but God brought it back on the other side, the fellowship hall in a January service when our bishop preached second chances, the God of second chances, and when with tongues interpretation went forth, the words out of the person that gave the interpretation was just as what the old pastor preacher prophesied 13 years earlier. As I called you all those years ago, I call again today. And I knew that those 13 years I had been running were going to come to an end. But the thing that came next is what really scared me. And some of you are in this position here tonight. God continued and said, but I will no longer call. I'm not going to call you again. I've called you, I've called you, I've called you, and I've called you, and I've called you, and I've called you. You've listened to service after service after service after service after camp meeting after camp meeting after winter camp. I've called you for the last 15 years, and I'm not going to call anymore. You see, God, church is moving. I said I would share this, and I feel tonight in closing, as our musicians come and as our ministers, I want all of our ministers to go ahead. Everybody stand. I want all of our ministers to come up to the front, and there's a purpose for this. I used to hate prayer lines. I hated them with a passion. But you know what prayer lines taught me? It taught me humility. And there's a lot of times I wouldn't go up there to pray because I didn't want some stranger laying their hand on my head. I didn't want them praying for me. But you see, church, in my life, and as your pastor, I just want to share this with you because as my life changes, my preaching changes, my teaching changes, and your life changes as well. See, that's how God works this. We're all part of a body. And God is pulling us and drawing us. And since I recommitted my life to God, and I started out in Sunday school, in the 2-year-old, 3-year-old, and the student that I was given charge over was young Stephen Gebinder, a fragile X student, young boy in our church, and I sat there and I taught him Sunday school stories, and we drew pictures together and put them on the bulletin board, and that was the beginning of my process. But every 5 years, Brother Seidel, of my life since that time, God has brought about a major shift. Hear me now. I'm not going out on a limb. I'm not being crazy and goofy. Every 5 years, it's been a major shift. And it's always been, always, in August and September of the year. I don't know why August and September, but that's just the time that God has chosen in my life to shift my life. And coming up next year, August, September, will be a 5-year shift. And God has placed upon my heart such a strong, strong, strong pull to prepare the ministry of this church for massive revival like we have never seen. But it's not just going to be Calvary Gospel Church. It's going to affect every city, every township, all across southwestern Wisconsin. Everyone that wants to be involved will be involved. And you're not just here to help us out. We're here to help you out. And we're in this together. Brother Lomax, we're not here to just help out. You're here to help us out. We're in this together. All of our preaching points, don't get discouraged because you haven't seen the breakthrough that you desire. God is simply teaching you, training you, and preparing you. I didn't realize for 13 years, as much as I hated being a preacher and didn't want to be a pastor, God was preparing me for this moment. You see, we all have our flesh. We all fight with our flesh. If you don't fight with your flesh, then there's something wrong there because we live in our flesh. It's going to fight us. We're going to have to deal with it. And our flesh is what keeps us from entering in to the level of the Spirit. Right, Bishop? It's what stops us from entering into the level of the Spirit in which God is seeking to call us into. And I know as I walk down these aisles, there's men and women, brothers and sisters. Some of you may not even have the Holy Ghost yet, but God says, I got a plan for your life. I got a calling. And you're gonna step into this calling. Don't fight this. Don't waste your time fighting. We don't have time to fight anymore. So as our praise team begins to sing quietly, if you feel a calling on your life in ministry, I don't care what it is. I don't care if you feel that God is calling you into a gift that you don't fully understand yet. I want you to come up and stand in front of one of these ministers. And we're going to begin to pray. If you're a young person, I don't care how you look at yourself now. You got to look at how God sees you, Clayton Chernikowski, not how you see you. You got to look at how God sees you, Ryan Rivas. You got to look how God sees you. Not how you see you or how your friends or your brothers and sisters see you. So I want you to come up, and we're going to have a massive impartation of the Holy Ghost as it begins to flow out of these brothers, out of these elders, and it begins to flow into you. And I want you to take what you feel that's imparted in you tonight, and I want you to take it home. I want you to write it down. I want you to take notes about what happens and begin to pursue. Healing tonight. Maybe you've struggled for years with an infirmity. Listen, there's no better time than tonight than to get delivered. I want our ministers to pray, and as you pray, impart. We have a long line of people, so we need to move through this. Yes.
Fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. The fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
Hallelujah. We want you to come on right down. Pray with someone. Pray. Allow someone to pray for you. Spread out along the front. There's a number of people here ready to pray. The Holy Ghost is doing a work here. These are the instruments of God's hand here tonight. God has anointed them for this purpose. God has appointed us for this meeting tonight. Come all the way down to the front. When you tell God what you want, speak the word that He's laid upon your heart, claim the gift that you're seeking, allow God to use that person to impart to you the calling of God. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance, and it's His will for you to receive an anointing in this place. If you're in the aisle, I want you to move forward and let someone else come through. Just push your way through. If you're in the back, just come right on up. Keep coming, keep coming, keep moving. Hallelujah! The promises of God are yea and amen. Claim the promise that He's given you. Remind Him of the words that He's spoken to you. Let the Holy Ghost show you what He wants to do in your life. God is willing. God is looking for someone to stand in the gap. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Speak the word by faith. Claim the promise.
Make me a house.
Let Him renew you. Let Him bring. Hallelujah.
May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out.
Keep moving forward. Keep coming forward. Praise God. God has a plan for your life. You need to submit your life to Him and trust Him for the word that He gives you. Praise God. Please step forward. Step forward if you haven't yet had someone pray with you. Let the Lord use you to pray for someone else. God is imparting gifts. God is imparting His call. God is confirming His call. God is renewing His call in lives in this house. Let Him speak to your heart. Yes, God. Yes, God.
Make me a house of prayer.
Thank you, Jesus. Claim the promise. Claim the word that He's spoken to you. Claim it for yourself. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Amen. Let God use you now to pray for someone else. Use the gift He's given you. Praise God. Let God use you to pray for someone's healing. Let's receive healing in this place. Let's receive miracles in this place. In Jesus' name, claim it. I claim it in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I claim healing. Oh, praise God.
A house of prayer. A house of prayer.
Praise God.
May the fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. A house of
praise
prayer.
God. The Bible says that he confirmed his word with signs following. He confirmed his word with signs following. You're going to have to take the word that you received tonight and step out in faith and do the thing that God has spoken to your heart. Hallelujah. He'll confirm his word. It doesn't depend on how you feel. The Word of God. It's what the Word of God speaks. It's the voice of the Holy Ghost confirming His Word. No matter how you feel. Hallelujah. We release God's Word. In Jesus' name. It's a journey, it's a process. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you leave this place tonight, and the energy that you're experiencing here has waned, and you're by yourself in your bedroom or in your living room, remember that the Word of God is the thing that has given you what you have received. It's not the feeling that you felt. It's the voice of God. It's the Holy Ghost. It's His Word that has given you what you received here tonight. Claim the promise that God has given you and walk in it. Praise God. We walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Continue to pray. Continue to seek Him. Thank you for being here tonight. God has done a miraculous thing in this house. But don't limit it to what He's done here tonight. Let it flow from your life from this night forward. Praise God. Let's continue to worship the Lord and let Him work here.